afternoon, Tide fans. Welcome back to the Alabama Adapted Athletics podcast. This will be season two. I'm your co-host, Sean Burns, kicking this one off because, unfortunately, our normal host has moved on, and he is now with the Winter Park Diamond Dogs of the Collegiate Summer League down in Orlando. So he's the general manager for them, and you know they kicked off their season this past weekend. They won a couple games. I know they lost their first one, but they came back with a couple wins. And so you know we really are going to miss Bryant. We are grateful for all the work that he did at Alabama Adapted Athletics. But with that being said, I would like to introduce you all to the new voice of Alabama Adapted Athletics, Dom Taylor. How are you doing, Dom?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited to be a part of the team. Just such a blessing to get this opportunity. And I cannot wait to, you know, just continue the excellence and the level of quality that, you know, Bryant executed last year. That's entirely my goal. And I can't wait to get that started for sure.
Awesome, man. We're pumped to have you. You know, we've really enjoyed having you around the building so far. And, you know, like a lot of the ideas you have and kind of the direction we're going, we're going to take this podcast even further. So start off by telling everybody a little bit about yourself, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, first off, I'm a graduate student. I'm getting my master's degree in journalism right now. I'm originally from Sacramento, California. And you're probably the first thing you hear when you think that is, or when you hear that is, you know, why Alabama? Why are you all the way out here? You know, working for an athletics department that's like 2,000 miles away from your home. Well, really, it comes down to one. I was born an Alabama fan. My dad likes to say that crimson runs in my veins. That's something that he's always said since I was born. He's from Mobile, so you know, my family we're all Alabama fans. We're all it's just what we were brought up in, right? And then. That's part of it. And the other part of it is there's basically no better place right now, in my opinion, to work in sports for, you know, there's no environment that is better suited to get you ready for a career in the sports industry than the University of Alabama right now, because of the excellence in all of our programs, because of the, TV recognition that we get, we're broadcasted on so many different channels and different ways. There's so many opportunities and media opportunities for students who want to get involved in something like that. And that's really what drew me here. And then of course, you know, Dr. Harden, called me up a couple months ago and, you know, I worked for Crimson Tide Productions for the last few years, actually. That is the multimedia department of the athletic department here at the University of Alabama. And, Justin Brandt, who is our director of that program, he knows Dr. Harden, and he, you know, Dr. Harden was talking to him about them needing somebody to fill this position because, of course, Bryant, as you mentioned, left, and so they mentioned my name, and Dr. Harden called me up and said, we have this position open. Would you come in and interview for it? And here we are, and I'm so happy that it went my way. You know, I was really, really excited for this opportunity. Play-by-play is something that is, it's a niche, you know, it's very difficult to find opportunities like this, especially for this type of broadcasting. And it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And finally, this opportunity just fell into my lap, and I could not be more thrilled. I'm so excited to be pursuing this. And, you know, I'm going to do my absolute best for this program.
Hey, man, we're pumped to have you. Your resume speaks for itself. So, you know, it'll be I think one of the cool parts about this position, just, you know, talking to Bryant about it, hearing you talk about it, is just you get to kind of really almost make it your own and sort of, you know, I mean, you run this podcast, you go play by play, and you kind of, you know, get to run the show and kind of help, you know, helps you out builds up your kind of profile and things like that. And I think, you know, you're doing a great job, man. It's been really cool seeing you out there, you know, scrimmages, getting, you know, practicing, trying to learn the game and stuff like that. So
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a, it definitely is a unique opportunity too, in the sense that, you know, it's basically the same game, but there are some differences when it comes to wheelchair basketball and wheelchair tennis. And it's been very interesting to just kind of sit and watch practices and learn it a little bit. And I think it's coming along for sure. You know, and we're going to have some really good opportunities for me to really get in depth with the game and to meet some of the players. And of course, I've already met some of the awesome coaches like yourself, Sean. And it's coming along really well.
It's awesome, man. Cool. We're pumped to have you, man.
Yes. Thank you. Well, now that I appreciate you introducing me, you know, I guess I am now going to officially put on the crown of the host now. You know, that's been passed over to me. That's my new responsibility. So let's dive right into it. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about, as this is the first episode of this season. And so I think right off the bat, you know, let's talk about what's coming up in a few weeks. The NWBA Junior National Tournament, that's coming up in a few weeks. That is a pretty big event when it comes to the world of wheelchair basketball, not only for, you know, high school recruits that might be looking at programs to commit to, but also for coaches like yourself. I'm sure, recruiting this event is probably very important for you and all coaches across the country. And I know I'm excited to head there. Our program actually is going to be live streaming that event. So if there are any fans that are interested in watching some of these games, Alabama's live streaming program is going to be there. We are going to be, me and our wonderful digital content coordinator, Kelsey, we're going to be running this event for the NWBA, live streaming it. I will be doing play-by-play for it. And so if you're interested in watching that, please do. That will be broadcasted on their Facebook, the NWBA Facebook page. But just breaking down this event, Sean, how important is a tournament like this for recruits coming out of high school to try and get some recognition for their talents?
I think it's really huge. You know, for a couple of reasons. For one, you know, you get to see a larger group of people, of players and, you know, young kids coming up than you normally would. You know, we try to go to as many events as possible, but a lot of those events are in the Southeast just because, you know, with time and budget things, like, it's just, that's where we can get to. So, you know, as far as building a full kind of profile, you know, this event is huge because it's one of the only event throughout the year where every team in every region is kind of represented for wheelchair basketball. So, you know what I mean? We'll be looking at everybody and trying to create, you know, a profile of who we want, not just this year, next year, but, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line, people to watch. And, you know, when we go to the event next year, or if we're able to get out to another event where they're at between now and then, like, just kind of keeping in contact with those kids and, you know, building, promoting our camp and promoting just our program and, you know, promoting ourselves. Cause, you know, a lot of times you'll get to talk to a parent or whatever. And depending on the age, there's different rules on what you can talk to them about. But, you know, a lot of times it comes down to, are the parents comfortable sending their kid to all the way to Alabama if they're from Texas or California, like yourself or something like that, you know what I mean? So it's really important. And it's a lot of fun, and, you know, I'm excited. Actually, it's my first opportunity to go as a coach. They didn't have it last year, obviously, because of COVID. And, you know, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, it sounds like such an incredible opportunity. It really does. And, you know, I like what you said there about kind of trying to grow the brand into, you know, really market our program to, you know, different people and different families and things like that. Because it really is, you know, as much as we have the, you know, the national championships and the prowess, there's a lot more that goes into it in terms of, you know, what do people think about our program and what kind of talent can we get because of how we present ourselves, for sure. You know, speaking of that, it's an excellent segue because in addition to growing that brand and growing that, that notoriety, the Parker Hahn Tennis Facility, which is going to be opening coming up in October, the first week of October. It is long awaited and highly anticipated. The only facility in the entire world dedicated to wheelchair tennis will be right here on the University of Alabama campus. We are so excited. Huge thanks, of course, to Tim and Kathy Parker and Charlie and Alice Hahn of Parker Towing Co. for the incredible, incredibly generous donation to make this facility a reality. We are super excited as a program to be opening this up for our tennis athletes. The ribbon cutting slated for the first week of October, and it's set to be completed in September. Sean, we drive back and forth past that facility, several times a week, and it's coming along. I mean, it looks like a beautiful facility, and I don't know if you've talked to some of the coaches about their level of excitement, but what does this do from a recruiting aspect and for the benefit of the athletes to have a facility like this?
Well, to me, I would say the best part has got to just be access and ease of access, being able to host better tournaments. And you know what I mean? Like how our facility is down that hill. It's a long push all from in between the locker room to getting on to practice and all of that. So, you know what I mean? Just convenience wise, the athletes are going to be able to be right there. They're going to have their offices there, their coaches' offices. They're going to have their entertainment room for them to hang out in, that is also a conference room for them to have team meetings and team film and things like that. So I feel like it's going to be great, when the Strand Harden Arena opened for both teams, basketball and tennis. Like, it just kind of, it elevated the profile, I would say, of wheelchair basketball, wheelchair tennis, and really adaptive athletics. Like, a lot of people just viewed it as kind of a rec sport sort of thing. And I feel like being able to put, buildings, it kind of legitimizes adaptive athletics more than, the average person knows about or even kind of recognizes. So to me, it's, another step in doing what our program's culture is about, is just giving adapted athletes the same opportunity as stand-up athletes. And for the tennis team, they're going to be able to show recruits this. They're going to be able to show, maybe there's a younger kid overseas that may want to come over and play college tennis, get an education. So it's just going to, elevate the recruiting profile. We already have great coaches, and they've done a great job with the program, and not only just our program, but helping build wheelchair tennis as a whole. So, being able to show this facility to other schools, like say Michigan, they're really trying to get a program going, and San Diego State has a program, and some of the other programs that are already established, that's their goal now, is to get their own facility and to really keep legitimizing wheelchair sports.
Yeah, it's got to be an incredible selling point when you tell somebody, this is the only one in the world so far dedicated just to wheelchair tennis athletes. That alone is just, that'll blow some minds for sure. And, some of the things it's going to feature, locker rooms, trainers room, restrooms, water stations, offices for the coaches, all accessible for wheelchair athletes. It's an incredible facility, and we're very, very excited to be opening. We'll have more on that, of course, in the future. We'll be talking to some coaches in the future about, how that's going to look, some of the applications of how they can use this facility, how it's going to benefit them for sure in a future episode. Sorry, go ahead.
It benefits the community and even some of the people that love to play tennis out on those courts. There's going to be a public bathroom. There's going to be, I think the rec center is going to have a little station where you can sort of like check in, and maybe, I don't know if you'll rent a racket or what, but they're going to have a little station up there and stuff. So it's, right now there's just like a little porta john up there. So really it kind of brings the community of Alabama students to, you know, wheelchair athletics too, because it's, you know, going to benefit them in that way, where, you know, there's some public restrooms. You mentioned the water stations and stuff like that for not just Adapt Athletics to use, but for the community to use as well. So it's kind of cool that it kind of encompasses everything on campus. It's kind of unique.
And that's also, I mean, that's an excellent point too, because that, you know, what that does with bringing in the community is, you know, it kind of, it's more exposure, and it's a better way to, you know, it's a better way to like to connect with, you know, maybe people that haven't exactly been exposed to adapted athletics, or who haven't, you know, are curious about it. And, you know, it's almost like an advertising way. It's a way to bring more people in, more viewers for these excellent sports that we produce. And it's a, you know, there's just so many benefits of having this facility, and we're so very lucky to have it. A huge thanks to all the donors for making this dream a reality, for sure. And some of the athletes, former athletes, that have benefited, of course, off of the incredible facilities here at Strand Hardin Arena, and of course at the new Parker Hahn tennis facility in the future. You know, who knows, someday they could compete in the Paralympics. And as of right now, we already have some former athletes that are going to be competing in the Paralympics. The Tokyo Paralympics, scheduled for Tuesday, August 24th of this year through Sunday, September 5th. Very excited for that. We have a plethora of former adapted athletics athletes who are going to be competing. Of course, the Paralympics, there's 22 events. A couple new ones introduced this year, badminton and taekwondo. So those are going to be pretty cool to view. Now, competing in women's basketball, some former athletes that we've had here in the program, Rosie Lalonde, Kate Lang, Erin Young, Babsy Gross, Bailey Moody. She's a current athlete. Plenty that are going to be representing the Crimson Tide coming up in Tokyo in just a couple months. And, of course, for men's basketball, Michael Allprince. He's a 2019 grad. He's playing for the Australian national team. Yannick Blair, Ignacio Ortega, he's going to be playing for the Spanish national team. Bo Hedges. And then, of course, in para rowing, Elena Nichols, who's playing for the U.S. team. She won two golds in basketball as well. And for tennis, there's a couple that have not yet been decided, but I know, Sean, you had a couple names that might be thrown around for potential athletes that could make it for the tennis events.
Yeah. You know, grad, she was one of the first tennis athletes that was a part of the program. Her name is Mackenzie Solden. I know she's always up there vying for potential to join or to be on that U.S. team. And then, you know, current volunteer assistant coach Shelby Barron. She's also in line. She went to the last Paralympics in Rio. So, you know, hopefully when they do select their team, that, you know, one or both, hopefully, will be able to, you know, represent the United States in tennis.
That'd be thrilling, I'm sure. That'd be just so awesome to do. You know, hoping for both of them to, you know, hear their name called and be able to do that. Real quick, Sean, what's the, I don't know if you've talked to former players that have gone, or if you know yourself, but what is the process of getting selected for the Paralympics, or, and just how much training does it, you know, goes into being a part of this incredible event?
Yeah. I mean, these athletes they're professional, you know what I mean? Like when they leave here, they play all the time. Some of them play in professional leagues. You know, the tennis players are playing in tournaments, you know, 6 months out of the year, you know, maybe every weekend, every other weekend, a few times a month. So they're playing all the time, and it takes that level of consistency to even be considered for these teams. Just because that's how high the level of, you know, quality of play is, and the competition is that high. So it's, you know, if you know, those of you listening, you know, you kind of see the process play out for some of these stand-up teams. It's very similar. It's pretty much identical, to be honest. Just the level of commitment and the level of work that it takes to, you know, be able to make it there. Not, there's been a lot of really good players that, you know, don't ever get considered, you know, that the great college players, great, you know, club team players once they leave college, and, you know, they're just not that level. You know what I mean? It's, there's 12 men, 12 women, whatever, 12, you know what I mean? There's, I think they take 4 tennis players out of the whole country to go to the Paralympics. So it's tough. It's highly competitive. And, you know, it takes that level of dedication, that level of athleticism to really make it to that point.
I didn't even know it was, you know, for tennis, that few players. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah. It's like between 4 and 6, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That just, yeah. Yeah. The competition there, I mean, it's, you know, it's a competition to get chosen, and then you're playing against extremely stiff competition once you get there. You know, huge congrats to all the players already going, and hoping for the best. Some more can get there, you know, hear their names called and get their ticket punched to Tokyo. But very excited to see how that turns out. See some medals be awarded. Hopefully, you know, have some more prestige coming back to the alumni of this incredible program. Now some other Alabama sports, we, you know, they champion our cause, and of course we'll champion the other sports teams associated here with the University of Alabama. The, unfortunately, the last events of the Alabama athletics season, the last teams have finished up their season. We're now technically in the Alabama athletics off season. There are no teams, you know, in official competition until about August or September. And so Alabama baseball and Alabama softball just wrapped up their season. Alabama baseball lost in the Ruston, Louisiana regional. They went 1-2. They had a hard fought 10-8 loss to Louisiana Tech to finish off their season. Finished 32-26 overall. But Sean, I think this is a, you know, this is a great sign even still for this baseball team. I mean, you know, we went to the first regional appearance since 2014. That's, you know, this is the best record that we've had since Coach Bohannon's been here. It seems like things are moving in the right direction. And I don't know how much you kept up with the team during the season, you know, but it just felt like this is a more talented and more organized team than recent years. And you could see it in some of the SEC series that we played. It just seemed like things were moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you see kind of the commitment that the school has to not only baseball but softball too, just with facilities. And, you know, I think it's starting to pay off with, you know, the coaching change to the Coach Bohannon. You know, they're really starting to take off. They have some pretty good pitching. They have some pretty good talent, you know what I mean? And they were pretty good last year before the season shut down. So they're starting to build on, you know, from year to year. You know, it'll be cool to see where they go next year, and hopefully they make it out of the regionals and, you know, keep fighting.
For sure. And, you know, great talent coming in. Coach Bohannon doing a great job with recruiting. I'm sure we're going to have another extremely talented team coming up in 2021. So very, very excited for this year. 2021-22 season is going to be another great one, I'm sure. Now, on the other side of campus, to going to Rhodes Stadium, just across the street from Strand-Hardin Arena, where Alabama Adapt Athletics is located. Softball, you know, after digging really, really deep into the Women's College World Series, getting to the semifinal round, you know, they, an incredible performance by Montana Fouts earlier in the week, a 6-0 win against UCLA, and two-time National Player of the Year, Rachel Garcia. Unfortunately, after that, they lost 2 straight games to the Florida State Seminoles, who are now the in a very close battle with the Oklahoma Sooners. So we did, you know, if there's any consolation, I don't think there's any silver linings in you know, in losing in the semifinal, or right, yeah, getting to the semifinal and losing, but the Florida State Seminoles were just on fire. And, you know, they got us in a 2-0 loss as well as an 8-5 loss. The bats fell asleep a little bit, but that's all right. We had an incredible season, 52-9 on the season, SEC tournament champs, national semifinalists, you know, some of the best fans in the country packing Rhodes Stadium when they finally switched it to 100% capacity. Regionals and super regionals were a blast to go to. You know, I think regardless, Coach Murphy always getting this team prepared, an incredible season. I really enjoyed watching this team this year. Huge thanks to all the seniors. And Sean, I'm a huge softball fan. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I absolutely love softball. I love watching this team play.
And 52-9 is just unreal. You know what I mean? Like, that is, you play that many games and to only lose 9. Like, that's pretty crazy. And that, that performance, the perfect game on Friday night, that was just, that's got to be one of the best College World Series performances. And at least recently, I would think, throw a perfect game on your 21st birthday, 21 out. Like, it's just crazy. It was such a cool story. I thought they had all the momentum. I really thought they were going to make it to, you know, the finals. But I really enjoyed watching that game Friday night. Like, it was incredible.
Oh, yeah, I did too. And the cool part about that, one of the storylines was, like you said, it was Montana's 21st birthday. But at the same time, you know, 21 batters up and down. He turns 21. It had also been, I believe it was 21 years since the last time there was a perfect game in the College World Series. Yeah. And I'm almost positive that's what the stat was. And so there's just this weird, you know how sports works, where just numbers kind of line up and there's these cool coincidences. Well, that was one of them. And it was just a really, really cool way to, you know, pretty much end the season for Montana. I'm sure that's something that she'll never forget. But again, incredible season for Alabama softball, and looking forward to another great recruiting class and seeing how this team looks for the 2021-2022 season. And then, of course, last but not least, before we wrap up here, football. Alabama football preparing in the offseason. Coach Saban's contract has been extended until 2028. So we said, you know, 2025 was not enough. Let's give him 3 more years. Let's give him 8 more, you know, $80 million more dollars. And, you know, let's keep him around. Listen, the investment is worth it. Yeah. It is 100% worth it. Everything that he does for this university comes back to it, you know. So it's essentially investing $80 million in themselves, because it's almost like a trickle-down system. Everything that the success of that program does for the university, it comes back tenfold. So very excited for that. Very excited also for Oklahoma State and Boston College, 2 more opponents set for the non-conference slate. Scheduled 10 years in advance. So it's going to be a little bit before we see any of these teams, but you know, they're joining other teams like Ohio State and Texas. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, Florida State's on there at some point, but, we're playing a bunch of different non-conference opponents that are going to be very interesting to watch. And, it gets me excited, Sean. I don't know about you, but like I said, crimson runs in my blood. Alabama football always has, and these will be some fun games to watch in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I love going to football games. I love watching them. Never miss a game, really. There's something else going on, which there very rarely is on a Saturday in Tuscaloosa. so, you know, that to me, it's crazy that they're scheduling games in 2030. You know what I mean? But, you know, maybe Boston College will be good by then, hopefully.
Let's hope. And I mean, who knows if, you know, Coach Saban will even be here at that point. I hope he is, you know, but who can tell what's going to happen 10 years in the future. So
I think it's cool, like, that they're scheduling these tougher games, right? I hope, at least, I don't know how you feel about this, that, you know, college football isn't always going to be that sport where if you lose one game, you know, you're and stuff. So, you know, I feel like them, it's kind of more competitive sort of regular season and things like that, where you'll hopefully see less games against, you know, small schools where it's 50-0 at halftime and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe one day we'll see an expanded playoff, which would be, I think, will be more interesting. I don't know about you.
Oh no, I think that would be great. And I've heard some inklings that, you know, they might be favoring a 12-team playoff. I've heard the NCAA's meeting, to try and discuss that. So, I mean, I would love that idea. I've been an advocate for an expanded playoff for a while. I was pretty upset when Cincinnati didn't get a shot, even though I know, you know, people will argue Georgia did take care of them, but that was a very close game. And who knows what Cincinnati could have done against a different team in the playoffs. So,
even though Georgia won, it was competitive. You know what I mean? Like, the narrative always seems to be like, oh, these teams can't even compete. Just like, there's no way. There's no way a team like that can compete. Well, they did. You know what I mean? Georgia's top five recruiting class every year since Kirby Smart got there. And, you know, like,
right.
I think that's huge. The fact that they're able to compete, like, you know what I mean? It kind of gives bearings for if you go to 8 or 12 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for it. And there's so many teams that I'd love to see get a shot, because I feel like once you get to, you know, I know this, some people may not like this argument, but there's a deflation when it comes to missing the college football playoff. And I think some teams would get that opportunity, you know, and they would almost play with their hair on fire. You know, it's a different feeling when you feel like you have a chance at winning a national title. There's like, oh, that, you know, all these teams expect to be here, but us as the underdog, like Cincinnati or Memphis or Boise State, they got nothing to lose. You know, they're not even expected to be here. So I think it would be a very, very cool opportunity, and at least the chance to give some teams a Cinderella story. You know, right now the cards are stacked against them because it's Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State every year. That's pretty much what it is. So I would love to see the NCAA do that. We do have to wrap up this podcast. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Alabama Adapted Athletics podcast. We have right now in the off season, we're getting ready for the preseason. Like I said earlier, going to the NWBA Junior Nationals tournament pretty soon. But on Tuesday nights, we do scrimmages and ABC Medical against Alabama Adapted. We live stream those scrimmages. So if you need to get your Alabama Adapted basketball fix, be sure to tune in and watch those games on our website, live streamed every Tuesday night. About 5:30, and John, if you got a quick wrap up about how the preseason, the postseason is going right now for basketball team, we'd be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's been going great, man. We have this week we have 4 people. Last week we had I think 6. You know, by the end of the summer we'll have 8 people here, and you know, we're just kind of, you know, it's cool. It's good to let them go home and get some time home. So spend a lot of time here during the school year. But you know, we're training every day. So lifting 3 days a week, practicing 5 days a week, scrimmage at night. We scrimmaged today during practice. So, you know, we're having fun, we're getting better. And, you know, before we sign off, I do want to say congratulations on finishing your first podcast. Once again, we're really happy to have you here, and I'm excited to get this season going.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited. I feel like it went well, so I'm very happy about it. I'm very happy with the product. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening, John. Thank you so much for being a wonderful co-host, and we will see you next time.